You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland. I am a psychoanalyst specializing in binge eating disorder, and I am here to help you break free from binging, break free from emotional eating, body shame, guilt, all the things, including diets that don't work. I'm here to help you break free from all of that so you can wake up and think about your day, not your diet. If you would like to call in to the show today, the number is 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind and what is weighing on you, because the solution to binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the solution is not focusing on food, and it is not yet another diet. Because it is not what you are eating that is the problem. It is what is eating at you. And the key to change is to focus on that. And when you figure out why you're eating instead of focusing on what you're eating, that is a huge step towards freedom. So give me a call and let's talk about it. 323-203-0815. If you are on Instagram, because I also live stream the show on Instagram, feel free to drop a question or a comment in the comment box. Okay, so question for you. Oh, caller's already on. Hi, caller.
Hey, how are you?
I am fine. What is your name?
Brandy.
Nice to meet you. Welcome to the show.
You too. You have totally changed my way of thinking. Thank you so very much.
Oh, that just made my day. I'm going to cry.
As kids, we were told showing emotion, like crying and stuff, was noise. So we needed to take it somewhere else.
Oh,
so insert food for comfort and dealing with emotions, basically.
Oh, that just breaks my heart, because feelings, to be told that you're feelings were noise and yeah, no one wants to hear it, as opposed to,
and this is just realizing this at nearly 50.
Oh, well, you know what? It is never too late to change the way that you respond to yourself, because the key to changing our relationship with food is to change our relationship with ourselves.
Yeah. So I'll listen to your videos, your podcast, and it has been very eye-opening, finally.
Well, how can I help you today? What is something going on that I can help you with that's specifically going on in your life?
Well, just my mom was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in January. She had the surgery to remove spleen and half of her pancreas, and then 3 weeks ago my aunt was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer as well.
Oh, so sorry.
Just a lot of stressors, to where my first instinct, of course, is to go to food.
Yes, and let me just normalize that. If you're told, hey, we don't want to hear your feelings, what do you do with those feelings? Food is comforting. We associate food and comfort. Our culture says food is, you know, love, essentially. So if you're not getting love and comfort from people, you're going to get it from food, which kind of represents, you know, people comforting you.
Yeah. And I live in Louisiana, so food is, you have food to celebrate. You have food, you know, for every occasion.
Exactly. It's a frenemy. It helps us cope in some way, or I should say binging or emotional eating is a frenemy. It helps you in some way, but it also, of course, really hurts you. It hurts your sense of self, your body, your self-esteem. So let me just say first how sorry I am. That is just so much, too much for one person to deal with, two pancreatic cancer diagnoses, your mother and your aunt within 8 months. That is so painful and so scary and so upsetting. I am so sorry.
Thank you.
So how are you, what have you tried in terms of, you know, comforting yourself given this situation? And let's see if we
I try to float in my pool a lot and just be, just relax, meditate. I try not to go to food that I might walk that way to the pantry, but then I'm like, nope. You know, I'll try to distract myself in other ways. Like, I'll clean out a junk drawer or wipe down a cabinet or do something more constructive, I guess.
Okay, those are all constructive ways of distracting you. And
yes, but I'm not dealing with it.
turning to food is a distraction. So is cleaning out your junk drawer or floating in a pool or all the things that you're doing. Those are distractions. Ultimately, when something happens in our lives that is painful and scary and catastrophic, really is what you're describing, you can't distract from it forever. The only way to get rid of those feelings is to feel them. Now, how do we do that?
Right.
Because
that's
if you're talking,
where I struggle, because I was never able or allowed to do that.
Well, your feelings are not noise here or anywhere. They are welcome, and it's important to express what's going on. So here's what you need to do instead of distracting. Or using willpower, like I will not go eat anything in the kitchen.
Yeah.
The way to feel your feelings. Well, wait, before I answer that, here's the way not to feel your feelings. Sit in them. This is what I hear all the time. Oh, I just need to sit in my feelings. No, sitting in your feelings doesn't do anything but make you feel icky. So instead, you first identify what are the feelings. Often it's more than one thing that we're feeling. And sometimes we can feel contradictory feelings at the same time. So you can feel sad and scared, for example, at the same time, given what's going on with your aunt and your mom. So first you have to identify what it is. You know what it is, because obviously these kinds of diagnoses and what's going on with you, pretty obvious. If you don't know what's going on with you, that's when you use the food mood formula, which is designed to help you get to the hidden reasons why you might be turning to food.
Right.
So that's step one. Step two is express it. So if you have my book, The Binge Cure, on page four, between 45 and 47, there are a bunch of prompts. And you want to look at those prompts and finish the prompts. So if it's like what would you say the main emotion is that you are feeling right now, given everything that's going on?
Well, I'm closer to my aunt than I am my mom. So, what's that word I'm looking for? Disappointment.
Yeah, and that sounds like almost benign, given what you're going through. It's sort of a crushing disappointment, right?
Yeah.
It's very painful. It's very it's sad and anxiety-producing, would you say? Both?
Yeah, and I feel my grandma will be 89 tomorrow, actually, and her oldest son, my uncle, he passed away 17 years ago from pancreatic cancer.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. And that's scary. That's really scary.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just pick one. Let's pick sadness.
Yeah, you know? Very sad.
Yes. So, you would finish the prompts. So the prompts go from pretty benign, like, you know, I'm feeling down, which is pretty benign. And as you go, they get, I'm feeling down, I'm gloomy, I'm glum, I'm unhappy, I'm hurt, I'm sad. So as you go, they get more intense. So how would you finish the sentence, I'm sad, so I'm sad because, or that, or I'm disappointed. Let's actually use the one that you use. I'm disappointed.
I'm disappointed in the fact that this keeps happening. Like, what is going on to make this, like, why is the universe attacking our family, kind of, I guess.
Yeah. And maybe upset, like, you're maybe some form of scared and angry. How come this is happening? Three people in one family? What's going on? What do the doctors say? They're like, what's happening? It feels like an attack from the universe, like you're saying. That's hard. That's upsetting. That's too painful. So first you express all of that. Hey, I feel like my family's a target. Why is this happening? This feels so, I feel so helpless maybe.
Mm-hmm. No?
So scared, so upset, so mad. And you finish those words. So I'm mad because of this. I'm upset because of this. And you really have to finish, like, not just identify what you feel, but then express it. And then, I'm not done. And then you comfort yourself with words. Because if a friend of yours said, hey, my mother and my aunt have pancreatic cancer and my uncle died 17 years ago, and this is all too much, I don't think you'd say, I don't want to hear your noise, or, hey, let's order some ice cream. You'd say, talk to me about it. Right? You'd say, right? Yeah. So what you want to do is be a friend to yourself. And how you do that is you use my acronym VARY. You want to vary your response. Instead of going to the kitchen or even floating in the pool, which is all fine, or cleaning out the junk drawer, it's fine. But sooner or later, got to get to the feelings. So you validate and acknowledge and reassure yourself. Of course I feel this way. How could I not? This is terrible.
Yeah, it's like I said, your book's really helped, and I've been trying to rewire, I guess you can say.
Yes, you're learning a new way of responding to yourself. So here, I'm going to say to you what I want you to say to yourself. Of course you feel this way, all these range of feelings, which are responses to situations and not character flaws, by the way.
Yeah.
It's too much. Josh on Instagram is saying, can you feel overwhelmed? You can feel overwhelmed by certain feelings. So often we go to feeling overwhelmed, but we forget the feeling that's overwhelming us, or the feelings.
Right.
Of course you feel this way. It's too much. It's overwhelming. It's scary. It's sad. It's upsetting on every level. How could you not feel? How could you feel anything but what you feel?
Right.
And you're going to get through this. You've been through tough things in the past. You're a strong person. You're going to get through this. And when I say strong, I don't mean ignoring your feelings. I mean actually having the strength to experience them. And you're going to get through this. It's going to be hard, and you're going to be okay. But this right now is hard.
That's what I'm working on. That's what I'm working towards. I know it's going to be a process, but you know, one step at a time.
Yes, absolutely. And it's a huge step to call and talk to me about what's going on and really express that. And I'm glad that you feel safe enough to call and talk about things that you were told that it was unsafe to feel something if you're told your feelings are noise. So already, yeah, just by calling this show today, that's a huge step for you, because that's saying, hey, my feelings matter.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
What are you feeling before you go? What are you feeling right now?
Relief, honestly.
Well, again, this sucks. I'll just say it. What a horrible situation. I am so sorry. And I want you to really take care of yourself while you help your mom and your aunt, and take care of yourself as you take care of them. And please feel free to call me back anytime.
Thank you.
Okay. Take good care.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Bye. Oh, breaks my heart. Okay. I'm seeing. So I got these new contacts so I can see far. Now I can't see close. So hold on. I got to put on my glasses. Oh, yes. Tender Misfit is saying that she is so proud of you for coming on the show and sharing. That took a lot. Yeah. And Josh, go with the glasses again. Hold on. Yes, we learn to eat when we feel anything. If we're told that our feelings are not worthy of our attention, if we get the message that our feelings are burdening other people, are upsetting to other people, we eat to escape, to comfort, to numb, because we can't turn to other people. They're going to shame us. So we turn to food because it works, right? Oh, well, my heart just breaks for that caller, and I'm really glad that she's on a road to like a new way of thinking and being in relationship with herself, which will change the way she is with food. And that's true for everyone. Okay, so today I had the topic of eating while bored. Let me ask you, do you head for the kitchen when you are bored? I can't see you, but I can feel like your head is nodding. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. And maybe you try to resist temptation. No matter how much willpower you use, no matter how much control, you feel like magically pulled towards that kitchen, like a huge magnet is just drawing you in. Like it's the Death Star and it's pulling you into the planet. Okay. Everything goes back to Star Wars. It's just Star Wars is life. That's just how it is. Okay. So, and then before you know it, there is an empty box of cookies or crackers or whatever your favorite snack is, or whatever your dinner was, or whatever your leftovers are. And you are scrounging for what else to eat, and you are filled with self-loathing and regret. Can you relate? I'm guessing yes. So today I want to talk about why you eat when you're bored and how you can stop and start living a life without constant food thoughts. And I'm going to give you my 3-step guide to stop binging when you're bored or anything else. So first of all, let's look at this. If you eat when you're bored, first consider, are you physically or emotionally hungry? So we live in a totally busy society. I mean, I don't think any of us realized how busy we were until the pandemic and quarantine made us realize how we were just go, 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 go all the time. Maybe I'm just speaking for myself and the people I know, but I'm guessing that was your experience too. And we are so preoccupied and busy that often we don't have time to eat during the day. And finally, we come to a stop at the end of the day and we are ravenous and maybe we feel restless and we feel bored. We don't know what to do now that we're not so busy, busy, busy. Someone I know says busy, buzzy. And we're hungry. So if you're physically hungry, obviously it's important to eat. Hunger is a sign that our bodies need nutrition, whatever. Our bodies tell us when we need to eat. Sometimes we ignore those signals. So the first thing you want to do if you think you're eating when you're bored is to figure out, are you actually physically hungry? If you turn to food when you're full, you just had dinner and it's like 30 minutes later and you're bored and you're going back to see what's in the fridge, you know, that's a sign that it's not physical hunger, it's emotional hunger. So let me break down the signs of physical hunger and emotional hunger first, and then we're going to get to what to do if it is boredom eating. So if you are physically hungry, you're going to have a growling, gurgling stomach. You're going to feel lightheaded maybe. Maybe you get a headache, especially if you haven't eaten for several hours. So physical hunger is actually physical. I know that I'm hungry when my stomach gurgles like something's going to burst out of it like Alien, and I start losing my words. When I'm hungry, I can't think. And my stomach is going, rawr. That has happened, and used to be it would happen with, you know, patients, and they'd be like, you're hungry. Like, yes, I am, and I'm going to eat something right after this. So first figure out, are you hungry physically? So if you don't have those symptoms, but you want to eat something because something sounds good, or it looks good, or you want to reward yourself, or you want to calm down or feel better emotionally, that's a sign of emotional hunger. That's emotional eating. And sometimes we think we're bored when something else is going on. So if you're binging after a meal, if you're eating after a meal, if you're grazing after a meal, if you think you're bored, let's just take another look at that. So often we think we're bored when we're actually lonely or empty. The answer to boredom is to do something. And by the way, eating is something to do. When we're bored, we just need something to do. But often we label loneliness and emptiness as boredom. So if you're comforting yourself, if you're filling a void, if you're eating to distract yourself, maybe you're not bored. Maybe you're actually lonely. Maybe you're empty. Loneliness is about feeling alone and needing to be with someone else. There are two ways to deal with loneliness. One is to connect with another person. Then you don't feel so lonely anymore. And I should say, connect in a meaningful, good way with another person, because there is nothing as lonely as feeling lonely with another person or with other people. That is the worst loneliness of all, to be with other people yet still feel so profoundly alone. The other way to deal with loneliness is to cultivate solitude. So we feel lonely when we're alone with no helpful, supportive, encouraging part of ourselves. When we are alone with a part of ourselves that can be encouraging, comforting, supporting, supportive, loving, accepting, generous, kind, that's solitude. And that's fine. That's a good feeling. So the first step you want to do if you're eating when you're lonely, is it that you're actually physically hungry? And if you're emotionally hungry, what is it that's going on? Are you lonely or are you empty? Empty is a sense that something is missing in your life. There is some void. Maybe you don't have enough friends. Maybe you don't have a partner. Maybe you've been trying to have kids and it's not happening. And there's a hole in your life. Maybe you don't have a fulfilling job. Even notice the language, like a fulfilling job, fulfilling. Maybe there's just something that is just not, there's some not enoughness in your life that is emptiness. And guess what? We often experience emptiness as an emptiness within. We feel it physically, an emptiness within. If we are yearning for more, any experience of yearning can actually feel like hunger. I want more. I don't have enough. And that's when food can symbolically fill the void, right? So if you think you're bored, think again. Maybe you're bored. It is possible. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you're empty. The solution to emptiness, is kind of a long-term solution, because you can't just fill a void and you can't just order up a new partner on DoorDash. You can't find meaning in your life instantly, but you can eat, which distracts you from these feelings. Okay, so now, as promised, here is the 3-step plan to stop binge eating, emotional eating, and any kind of unhealthy, unhappy relationship with food. Kind of already went through it with the caller earlier. And it's a pretty simple plan. Its execution is where it gets difficult. So the plan is this. First, you identify what it is that you are feeling. And sometimes that's very obvious, like with the caller today. Oh, Carly Gash, hold that thought. I just saw that you're on. I don't know where my head is. Carly Gash, hold on. I'm gonna go over the 3 steps and then I'm going to talk to you. All right, so sometimes it's really obvious, like with the caller today. Sometimes it's not obvious. So you want to identify if you need the food mood formula. Use that. If you don't have the food mood formula, it's in my book, The Binge Cure. You can also get your free food mood formula guide on the link in my Instagram bio or on my website, drninainc.com. Then you express your feelings and then you respond to them. More on that later. Hi, Carly Gash. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Nina. How do you hear me?
I hear you well.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm calling to just check in. I do have lots of mixed feelings. Procrastinating on work. Working just a little bit and like this being hopeless and fearing future. So I know that I need to, as for fears, it's a what if. I need to stay with what is. And fear is false evidence appearing real. I guess I'm just sad because I don't have, like, this family and people around me. I just realized that when I was growing up, I was in my mom's family, and there were like about 7-8 people. So I guess this my regular mode of interacting and being in the world is being in this, surrounded by people. I mean, all of them would need like some healing for sure, but you know how this mode was set. And then growing up, I don't have this anymore. Like when I was in school, musical school, college, and even work at the office, those dynamics, family dynamics, were somehow replicated. Now I work from home, and majority of the time I'm by myself. And I guess the sense of like feeling of loneliness is coming. I just realized it just calling to you. But I am missing that business by surrounded by people, them talking, living, disrupting my flow. So I guess I feel lonely because of that. But thinking of that right now, I understand like just because I grew up among lots of people and now I have different lifestyle, doesn't mean that I'm lonely. I mean, in life, you cannot like keep the same like family dynamic all the time throughout your whole life. Like, you may have many kids, you may have not. And I'm thinking, just realization of that gives me like a little bit of calm feeling. Now I understand that, hey, I can work. I don't need like the whole office of people just to feel good. I can pick up the phone, make calls, send emails, and just work.
Well, and so I can tell you're doing a lot of thinking and reflecting, Carly Gash. I want to mention that this is very important to know, that when it comes to working, we unconsciously replicate our original family experiences. So if we have a family that is rejecting, alternately sort of in your business, being intrusive and then neglecting you, we can experience our workplace as that. So we see like bosses or superiors or whoever that is as parents, and then coworkers as either siblings or other members of our family. And we can feel the same. When you're in an office, that can get triggered. But if you're working from home and you're not interacting and it kind of just plays out in your mind, it can be more intense. So there's this transference of the past onto the present. You want to be really conscious of how are you experiencing people. Are you experiencing people as they are or as the original people in your family were?
I feel like I got a little better in experiencing people for who they are. Yet when there is like something at stake in me communicating with a certain person, like yesterday I was talking to a former colleague and we have like some business together and I need him to say yes to me. And I remember that I was so anxious and worried, and because stakes were high, I got into my family dynamic mode. If I am more aware and being mindful, I feel that I have some good little results in experiencing people for who they are. I set aside as much stereotypes and biases, which I tend to have for creating structure in life and not to be scared, away. And I'm more curious about the person. I ask questions, what they like, what they don't do. I make it a point to gather information from the person, them telling me their position instead of me assuming something about them.
Okay,
I guess
so
it's just a work in progress.
Oh, we're always a work in progress. We're all works in progress. And by the way, when we stop being a work in progress, you know, that's the end. We always want to continue to evolve. So then I would say, Carly Gash, this is really about your relationship with yourself, because we do two things with our original relationships. We replicate them with other people. So if you have a critical parent, then we can seek out or experience other people as critical, or we can become critical of ourselves. And then we want to use food to get away from our own mean voice. So I would say for you, really focusing on the way that you are responding to yourself is everything. If you feel, you know, like sad because you don't have the kind of family situation that a lot of people are lucky enough to have, then instead of attacking yourself for not having it or experiencing people as rejecting or whatever else might be going on with you, to really comfort yourself and support yourself, because that's a hard feeling to have, to feel so disconnected from having a kind of a sense of community when a lot of other people have that.
Yeah, and I'm still like, I should say that recently, maybe because I got used to my a little bit new situation, I noticed that whenever I do something new, or I really work with internal conflicts and I'm trying to bring something in my life, like relationships or a new income, I tend to binge and be very, very harshly critical to myself. It reflects my past family dynamics. But once I get a little bit comfortable with something new, I incorporate it in my life, I tend to binge less, like I'm doing it today and yesterday. And I feel better. I'm kinder to myself. So I want to develop kinder attitude to myself when I'm going after something new, something I wished for, or I'm bringing something, a new skill and new knowledge, something which involves doing something new. I know that this is my huge stress point.
Then this is what you need to do. If you wouldn't say it to a child who you love, don't say it to yourself. If you wouldn't say it to a friend that you love, don't say it to yourself. If you wouldn't say it to me, don't say it to yourself. That simple.
Oh, got it. Okay. And I talked to this colleague yesterday. He's from my country as well. And he also mentioned that he slave drives himself. This is how he motivates himself. And I couldn't explain to him that it's very important to be kind to yourself and you accomplish more rather than slave driving. And then I just became so sad that this exists in other people and kind of perpetuates.
I wish you would show the same amount of care and concern that you showed that colleague to yourself. What will help and what will help you stop binging is to cultivate a kinder attitude towards yourself, because so often we are so harsh to ourselves and mean, and we look at all our flaws or perceived flaws or deficits or whatever, and we don't look at what is good, what is working, what is positive about ourselves. We look at our negatives and we feel bad, and then boom, binging, because binging takes us away from ourselves. You have to stay with a kinder part of you. So I would say so just practice that. Practice makes progress.
And I also want to add that I feel I became much more kinder to myself. So when I wake up in the morning, I usually wake up with very heavy thoughts. Sometimes it takes me an hour, sometimes to just kind of regroup. But in comparison to my whole life, I would wake up and be just helpless and hopeless, sitting there and just really being like, absolutely devastated on like how I'm feeling and like frustrated by the fact that I'm like this and I have this thought. So every morning when I wake up now, I do have those kind of feelings, but I'm very determined. I'm like, yes, I woke up. This sucks. It feels horrible. But you know what? I'm going to do this. I know they're not going to last forever. It may take 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever tools it needs, meditation, listening to your book. Usually, Dr. Nina, just in the morning, I turn on your the Binge Cure, your audiobook, and your happy, cheerful voice. Like, and I listen to your book for a while, and then it really puts me in a right mood. And then eventually, this feeling go away, and I try to think where they're coming from. So that's a good point. And I guess, like, I'll keep doing my work, and I really, really appreciate all of your help. Thank you so, so much.
You are so welcome, Carla Gash. Take good care. Be nice to you. Be sweet to yourself. When we're sweet to ourselves, we don't need sweets. All right. And let me know.
I'll do my best, Dr. Nina.
Okay. Bye, Carla Gash. Oh, so sweet. Okay. So first, so here is the three-step plan to stop binge eating. Number one, identify what you are feeling. This sounds easier than it is because we use food to escape what we are feeling. We use food so we don't know what we're feeling, so we don't feel what we're feeling. So number one, identify the feeling. And if you can't, again, use the food mood formula. Number two, and by the way, it doesn't end there. I just talked to someone yesterday and she said, I just don't understand how, if I recognize what I'm feeling, how that's going to help. And I said, it's not going to help. No, that's the first step of these three steps. So number one, identify what you are feeling. Number two, express what you are feeling. And that doesn't mean to another person. If you're mad at your boss, I am not saying, hey, go tell your boss that they're really pissing you off. They're really upsetting you. No, that's not going to help at all. Then you're going to get in trouble. You're going to get fired. Something bad's going to happen. No, 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 no. I want you to express it to someone who's safe, to journal it, to say it to yourself, just to get it out and to get it out in full sentences. I am so mad at my boss because, she doesn't appreciate me. I am so mad at my partner because they don't spend enough time with me. I am so mad at whatever situation. I was somewhere and I got cut off on the freeway. I am so mad at those drivers. Whatever it is, like, express it in sentences. Right now you're getting it out. Then the next step is to, and that's just mad. And why I use mad often is because I hear a lot of, well, I'm not an angry person, or I could never be mad at anyone else, or it's not really fair to be mad at them. I don't know where fair comes in, but then you have no trouble getting mad at yourself. Oh, I can't get mad at anyone else. That's not nice. But oh my God, I cannot believe I ate those bagels. I am so mad at myself. I hate myself. No, we don't want displacement here. Like, so the first step is express it. Or I'm sad. I'm sad because of this. I'm so sad at what's going on with climate change. I'm so worried about what's going to happen with the animals on the endangered species list. I'm so sad that someone I love is struggling right now. Like, express it fully in words. That's step two. Step three is respond to yourself. So first you identify what you're feeling. Then you express those feelings fully in full sentences to someone who's safe, or to a journal, or just to yourself. And then you respond to yourself. And responding is my acronym, VARY. Validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. Here's what we often do. Here's where people get stuck. Either it's, I have no idea why I ate, but I'm so mad at myself and I'm a food addict and there's something wrong with me and I hate myself and I have no willpower and no control. And have I mentioned that I hate myself? Yeah. So they get stuck there because they're not realizing, oh, they think they're being triggered by food. No, you're being triggered by some situation or emotion that you may or may not be aware of. Or they get stuck at, well, I identified my feelings. Isn't that good enough? No. Then you got to express them fully. And by the way, I don't just mean express them in just words. You also need to express them with feeling, right? Emotions are called feelings because we feel them in our bodies. So saying, well, I'm really sad about that, is different from saying, oh, I'm really sad about that. That really hurts, right? One is an identification and a very monotone sentence describing your feeling. I'm really sad about that. That's a descriptor. I'm really sad about that. That's an expression. So the other part of it is to really express it with full sentences, but with feeling in those sentences. And then people get stuck because they do those two steps and they still don't feel better. Okay, I expressed it and I still feel like really raw and upset. Yeah. And this is where often the positive thinking trap comes in. Oh, it could have been worse. Oh, other people have it so much worse. I have it so much better than other people. Why am I complaining? I'm just bitching. I'm just complaining. This isn't so bad. I should be grateful for everything I have. No, that doesn't help. That is actually dismissive. So when you get to the third step, one, identify, two, express, third is respond. Responding has to be validating and acknowledging, not dismissing. Nicely dismissing in the form of positivity, toxic positivity. So, and I'm not saying don't be grateful, I'm saying put gratitude in its place. You figure out you're upset, you express it, and then you reassure yourself, you respond to yourself. Yeah, of course I feel this way. How could I not? This is hard. What I'm going through is difficult. If a friend of mine was going through this, I would say, oh, that is so hard. I'm so sorry. Yeah, this is hard. This is difficult. Of course I feel this way. How else could I feel? And by the way, if you're having a more intense feeling than you think you should be having, know that it's not then about that particular situation. It's what dynamic does that situation remind you of? There's something familiar about it. And then maybe you say, hey, I'm a survivor. I've been through a lot of stuff. I'm going to get through this too. Right now it's hard, but this will not last forever. I'm going to look back at this one day, maybe later today, maybe next week, maybe in 6 months, but I'm going to look back and I'm not going to feel the way I feel today. But right now, yeah, it's hard. And I'm going to give myself what I need. I'm going to give myself comfort, understanding, encouragement, and love. That is the three-step plan to break free from binging. Identify what you're feeling, express what you're feeling, and respond to yourself like a friend, like you're someone you actually love. Because when we dismiss our feelings, when we ignore it, dismiss it, or keep it bottled up, or try to do something to distract ourselves, like clean out the junk drawer, like our first caller, or brush your teeth, or whatever it is people are told to distract themselves. Yeah, that doesn't work. Brushing your teeth or cleaning, it gives you a nice pearly smile and a cleaner space, but it doesn't change the way you feel. It just distracts you for a little bit. Ultimately, the only way to stop binging is to change the way that you respond to you. If you feel something and you're like, ignore. Oh, why am I feeling this way? This is so stupid. That doesn't mean you go, this is stupid. Let me stop feeling that way. Just drop that feeling. Just stop that. Think of something else. These are actually things that people have been told. If you're feeling that, just think of something else. Oh, okay. Yeah, that works. Not. And I promise you, when you use this three-step program, which yes, it is easier said than done, but practice makes progress, you will find yourself feeling differently in the world. And when you feel differently in the world and you're kind to yourself, you don't use food, eating, binging, whatever, thinking about it to distract yourself from what's going on. Oh, what time is it? Oh, unfortunately, I am almost out of time. I had a couple of questions just really briefly. And I'll, Kylene and Bev, I will get to you next week with these questions. But Kylene is saying most of her eating is at the office. What's eating at her is anger at the office. So many times it's chips. Chips are related to anger. Anything with a crunch is related to anger. Well, I noticed that she keeps saying, I'm mad at the office. I'm mad at the office. Uh-uh. Kylene, you're not mad at the office. You're mad at someone in that office. You're not looking at that office building going, oh, I'm so mad at that brick and mortar building. No, you're mad at something going on inside that office. Some people, maybe your boss, maybe coworkers, who knows, whatever. You're upset at people. You're not mad at the office. So I just want to leave you with that, Kylene, and I will talk more about this and any other questions that I get between now and next week. I will be happy to answer them. So my final thought is this: be a friend to yourself. If you wouldn't say it to a friend or someone you love, do not say it to yourself. Be kind, be loving. And if you want more information, more tips, more strategies, a deeper dive into some of the things that I talked about, it's all in my book, The Binge Cure, 7 Steps to Outsmart Emotional Eating. It is available in hardcover now. So cool. This is hardcover. I love it. Hardcover, paperback, Kindle, and audiobook. I read the audiobook to you. Carly Gash said she listens to the audiobook every morning to start her day. Makes me happy. And if you have any questions, please let me know. In the meantime, be kind to you. You deserve it. I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.